Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today we're going to look at triplets. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the life that you give us, that you provide everything for us. Just like Adam and Eve, you prepared the garden and then you placed them in it. God, before we woke up today, you had made this day a beautiful day for us, and now you've placed us in the middle of it. We thank you for that. Thank you for our time in the Word. We ask you, Father, to bless it. Open your word to us that we may see you clearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, first off, I guess I'll start with a bit of an apology. All of a sudden, I got a little thickness in my throat or a little raspiness in my throat. So I'm probably not going to sound too much like me right now. But I'm going to press through because I don't want to not get this for us. We've been doing a series of 3x3. It's kind of grown because it was going to be just three teachings about threes. And I believe by now we're up to number 5. And today I'm going to lump two more in there that I wasn't counting on just because I think it should be our last. I think we've done enough. But we are going to do triplets plus two bonuses. But I wanted to talk today first about that, and I don't usually do this, but I really want to dedicate this message. Some very wonderful and beautiful people had an anniversary this last week, and I had said when I was talking about them that I really had a scripture I wanted to share, but of course a whole lot of people wanted to share, and I didn't want to get caught up in that, so I just shared one little thing. But there's a psalm that I want to talk about, and this is in honoring three ladies, three ministers of the gospel, three marvelous souls, and by God's grace, three people to whom I owe a great gratitude of loyalty. First is Pastor Price and Pastor Mom and Apostle Kizzy. A work they established in St. Louis has now passed the 30-year mark. So I just want to acknowledge them. So it sort of seemed right that we should talk about threes. And then as I started to go on, it just kept getting deeper and deeper. So we're going to look at a psalm that to me is just an encapsulation of what it means to be the blessed of God. And it has triplets in it plus a bonus. And then I'm going to give you another bonus. Because when we talk about it, one of the greatest qualities of these people and qualities of all of God's servants is faithfulness. And I hear this when somebody talks about people being faithful. They always say, oh, you're faithful in little, and God will put you over much. You know, you prove you're faithful in little, and then you'll be faithful in much. It's just what we do. But a lot of times, but here's that three. Remember we talked about three, that imagery, that language of it is all over the place, and it always speaks of completeness. It's the smallest complete number, perfect number. And so it talks about being solid, being stable, being complete. So I wanted to talk about, first off, faithfulness. Then we'll get to our psalm. And the passage of scripture that people always use is out of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 16. The irony is that they have it broken down into three verses, but anyway, so book of Luke, chapter 16. So I guess we're hopping around from Old Testament, New Testament. Verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And that's why, you know, when you look for somebody to promote or look for somebody to trust, you look for people who are faithful in the very little things. They don't say, oh, well, that doesn't matter. They want to move on to big things. When you're faithful in little, you can be counted on to be faithful in much. And that's why often God brings us up slowly in ministry. Not so much he knows our heart, but for us to be able to prove to ourselves, look back and go, you're right, I was faithful in little. Anyway, that one most people are familiar with, but I want us to keep reading. The trouble with most folk is they read a scripture and they like it. And so they quit reading and then they just kind of dwell on it instead of, you know, studying it and getting all there is. If you give me a plate and it has salmon and it has Brussels sprouts and it has mashed potatoes or whatever, sweet potato. I'd rather have sweet potato. As all that on the plate, I'm not going to say, ooh, I like salmon and take a bite of salmon and say, that's good. I want to see what else is on there because I like all of it. Okay? And it all works together. That, anyway, he that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. It matters. When people say, well, that doesn't matter. In character, it matters how you treat people that don't have any influence. If you only go for the people of influence, I've seen that with pastors. They want to run after somebody who has a great name, and they overlook, you know, the deacon or the usher that's been faithful, just making sure that somebody gets greeted every day, and they don't realize you don't go after just, if you're unjust to that one, if you get those kind of, oh, I won't go on. Anyway, faithful in least, you'll be faithful in much. Verse 11, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your hand the true treasures? So now we have a second faithful. Faithful in mammon, and we know that's the things of the material things of no consequence, no spiritual weight. They're temporal, not eternal, that comparison. But when God knows he can trust you, if you've been given the job to sweep the floor and scrub the toilets to the church, then God knows that you can be faithful to be trusted in the true treasure of the church, which is the Word of God, or which are the souls in the house of God. You have to be faithful in little and prove you're faithful in much. You have to be faithful in material things to prove that you'll be faithful in spiritual things. Verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in that which, oh, here's the other one. Here's our third one in verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's thing, who shall give you that which is your own? So many people in ministry think that they want to get to a place where they have their ministry with their name on it. But if you cannot be faithful in assisting your brother or sister in the ministry they're called to, and just see it's another man's ministry, I'm faithful in it, and God can trust you to be faithful because all ministry is his own, is it not so? There are people who just, you know, if they're working for somebody else, they'll just do what gets by. Man, if I had my own business, if I had my own, et cetera, et cetera, boy, I'd do it differently. Well, the way we do another man's thing tells how faithful we would be in our own thing. So there are three different kinds of faithful. Faithful in least shows faithful in much. Faithful in temporary or material things show we'll be faithful in spiritual things. And faithful in another man's thing shows you'll be faithful in your thing. I use that again for you to see those three. All three together means that man, if he's faithful in least, if he's faithful in material things, if he's faithful in another man's thing, those three things completely together show that he is a man who is faithful. And of course, by man, I also mean man and woman. So I'm talking about three very faithful women, faithful in the things of God. And they've been faithful when they had little in their hand, been faithful when that they've honored one another in this. You don't hear them fighting over who's over this and who's over that. And you also see they're faithful in those things that the material things that God has put in their hand. Therefore, the real riches, the spiritual riches are theirs. What I had wanted to read that day for them and talk about, and I just thought, no, we're going to talk about it in our 3x3, because this has triple triplets in it, is Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Now, you know that the thing with the book of Psalms is it is meant to be visceral. It's meant to be emotional. It's meant to be a thing of connection. But that does not mean that God has not woven into it some tremendous things that deserve our study. I'm just going to touch on a couple of things, and if anybody has interest in it, let us know. I can go back to those things. The book of Psalms is actually divided up into 5 books. And it's a mirror to the first books of the Bible, the 5 books of Moses: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Psalms is subdivided into those 5, just the same way as in the heavens are divided into books, if we can say that. The Messiah is one part of that. The redeemed is a part of that. Those things all play out in there. And so, again, you know, there's so much depth to these things. But sometimes we just read and get our whoo on, and we forget to understand the deeper things. But this book of Psalms, which is just a phenomenal source for us to know God and to relate with God. This is the place, if I can put it like this, in the temple, the place where God and man meet was in the Holy of Holies. It was and what was in there was the Ark of the Covenant, where God sat between the angels and man met him there. There's a very sacred place where God and man meet. God and man met in Jesus. Well, the book of Psalms really is a place of meeting, of God and man meeting, okay? And so I'm looking at Psalm 1, and I don't know which translation you're using, but we starts out with, "Blessed is the man," and I just always read it, "happy." We know that blessedness, I think it's the Amplified, says, "Blessed is happy, prosperous, favored, etc." I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but it lists several things that are incorporated in blessed. And so, but the reason there, you can look through almost any text and you will find the kind of the subcontext of that blessed is happy. And I like reading it like that. Happy is the man who walketh not. We'll go on to what is makes him happy. Because this is blessedness in our life is happiness. We can be blessed and not happy, but you truly cannot be happy if you're not blessed. And so blessing, being blessed of God sometimes can become spiritualized. Ooh, I'm blessed. Yeah, but are you happy? So I like reading it like that. Happy is the man. And what does he do? We're just going to read through the psalm because it's only 6 verses, and then we'll go back and look at it because we got triplets, remember. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so. See, the first 3 talk about the man that's happy and blessed. The other 3 talk about the fate of the ungodly. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we're going to look at this, and there's a mirror image in these things. If you look at the structure of this language, it's unbelievably phenomenal. It's intricate. It's so simple, yet in its simplicity, there's such complexity. I'm going to look for a while just at verse 1. Well, I'll read 1 again, and then we'll go to 2 and 3, and then we'll go back to 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight. See, that's, again, it's delight. That's why it, to me, speaks of happiness. It's not just blessedness, but it's manifested blessedness. It's walking in that blessedness. It's enjoying that. We are delighted. Amen. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Another good word for that word, you know, meditate can mean, can be to continually, habitually. It's constant. It's ongoing. It's not like it happens once in a while. You find yourself thinking about it, meditating on it. It just is in your ears and before your eyes always. But that one of that too is day and night. So remember how we talked about twos show completeness when it's both ends of something. When we say day and night, we mean the whole day. It's not a part of a day. That's why whenever it talks about a whole day, and the evening and the morning were the first day, that means that's one complete cycle. Okay? It's like Alpha and Omega. Well, he isn't just the Alpha and the Omega. He's everything in between. When we say Alpha and Omega, we don't leave out the middle part. We're saying it's the beginning, the end, and everything in between. So in the, you know, does he meditate day and night and everything in between? So it's a constant, ongoing, present tense kind of thing, habitually. He doesn't just think about it when it's boom, you know, time goes off. In Islam, they pray 5 times a day. They know when the hour comes, boom, they pray, and then they go about their business. So it's true with a lot of Christians. We have maybe you have a morning devotion. Maybe you only go on Sunday. Maybe you have an evening devotion as well. But to have that perpetually, constantly, habitually be before your eyes, that's what that too is. Okay. Then this is actually our second. This is the bonus. I'm going to give you the other bonus. And then we're going to go back to just one verse, and you'll see a triplet in one verse. Now remember our other triplets we've talked about. The fruit of the Spirit, it's one fruit. But it isn't even 9 aspects. It's 3 threes. Love, joy, peace is one. It's a complete first person. Patience, gentleness, goodness is the second one. That's the second person, how you are to others. And I'm not going to teach fruit of the Spirit, but that's a triplet as well. But anyway, we're going to talk about what he shall be like. The simile, verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Remember, we talked about water last time, how important water is. Bringeth forth his fruit in his season. The leaf shall not wither. Amen. So we see three things there. And those three things about the tree. It has three things to it. Amen. It has, let me talk first about the tree itself. This is not a tree of the field. This tree was planted. It was planted. It's planted in a garden. Trees of the field. My friend and I, we drove around just, you know, not breaking our stay-at-home order. We just got in the car and we drove because the pear trees are in bloom. Red buds are in bloom. Weeping cherry are in bloom. We just enjoy driving around and seeing the trees. But for the most part, these are trees planted in somebody's yard. It's part of their landscape design. But as we drove by the hills, you know, just kind of out wild, we saw all these trees blooming on their own. They're trees of the field. They also were pear, but they spring up spontaneously. Thinking of our friends in Missouri, during this time you see the red buds and you see the dogwoods. They grow wild in the forested parts of the country. Amen. But at the same time, like I have a little dogwood that I planted in the front of my house. It was planted there. There's a difference between trees that grow up wild, what we call trees of the field, versus a tree planted in the garden. Do you get that image again? Remember, this is the beginning. These are the five books. It corresponds to the five books of Moses. And so the first book is Genesis, and the very first part of Genesis is God creating this garden and planting man in it. Here we have the man planting the tree in the garden. You see the reciprocity there? He plants a tree in the garden. And it says, by the rivers. Well, these are not the same as rivers, like wildly. Like I grew up in Kansas, known for its cottonwoods. You can drive through stretches of the prairie. You don't see trees. But if you needed to find water, you'd go look for where there's all of those of us who remember listening to the serial episodes of the Lone Ranger in a stand of cottonwoods outside the edge of town. You know, you look for those little stands of trees because you knew they were by a river. So from a long way off, you need to watch. You say, well, we'll head that way. Because that's where they are. They spring up by the river. This is not so. These rivers are more like, they're like planned. They're like irrigation, if I can say it like that. They're waterways that have been designed to water the field, water the garden, and the man planted the tree there. And so it's planted by the rivers of water. Okay. So we see three things for this tree. It's our first three. This is our bonus. Well, other than the three faithful. This one is the tree that's been planted by man in the garden. The three things we see it. And it's the contrast to it is the ungodly who are like the chaff that are blown by the wind. So the wind, which is nothing, moves this chaff around. So that means it's less than nothing, right? The wind is strong enough to just blow it away. But the tree planted in the garden by the water, the irrigation. So this has all been prepared for it, and it's planted. What three elements do we see? We see the root. We see the fruit. It bears its fruit in season, and the leaf withers not. Now, you in your lifetime, there are seasons where you'll bear a lot of fruit, maybe in ministry, and sometimes it seems like it doesn't. But the one thing is your roots go deep. They're unmovable. And because your roots are deep, your leaf doesn't wither. Maybe we don't always bear fruit, you know, as such, like a tree. But I'm looking at some of my trees out in my yard now. They're just beginning to leaf out. Some of them have flowers. The flowers are fade, but the leaf will still be there. Some of them will even bear some fruit. The fruit will come and go, but the leaf is still there. The root, the leaf, and the fruit are the three parts of a tree. So it's talking about the complete life cycle of this tree. Unlike the chaff, which grows, the seed, the wheat is taken from it, and then the chaff is blown off in the wind. It has no permanence. It has no value. The other thing is it cannot reproduce itself. When you plant an orchard, you don't plant it for one day. That's why you go to the garden store and there are annuals and perennials. The perennials will reseed themselves and grow again the next year, won't they? The root goes deep, and even when the top dies, after winter's over, they come back. Why? Root, leaf, and fruit. Amen? I don't think I need to say a whole lot more on that. I think you get that idea. So we're going to move now to our triple triplets. And that's talking about the happy man, the happy woman, the happy child of God. Blessed, happy is the man who does this, these three things. Happiness, blessedness, excuse me, is made up of three threes. Amen? So you can see that our happiness is not momentarily, it is not fleeting, it's not like the chaff. It's like the orchard. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth not in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In contrast, his delight is in the law of the land, perpetually. Again, so you get that thing of permanence about this. The tree is permanent, whether it has fruit all the time. Sometimes doesn't even have leaf, but the tree is still permanent, isn't it? Amen. So we see three here. And you say, well, what three threes? Well, first off, let's look at the position of the man. He walks not, and he doesn't stand, and he doesn't sit. Those all three make a complete. It isn't like he plays with it a little bit. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful or the mocker. When you sit with mockers, let me tell you, the next thing that happens is that you will then stand in the way of sinners. And by that, let's look at that, what that standing in the way. Hang on, I've got something covered up here. I've got to turn my page. So we'll work it backwards. When you first just sit among the mockers, then that is contagious, and you'll be like that. Then you'll find yourself standing in the way of the sinner. And the ways of the sinner, really better way to say that is it's you carry it out. You may sit with mockers, but you don't necessarily partake of it. But then you start, standing with them. Then now you're a partaker of that. Amen? And then the third one is walking in their way. That means continually. It's a motion. It is continuous. Amen? And so we've got those three. Now, listen, you could take them either direction. I don't care. But walking, sitting, or walking, standing, and sitting. Those three positions show that the man of God that's happy, that's blessed, doesn't participate in any of it. You can't say, well, it's okay if I do this a little bit because I'm also doing that. No, the point he's making is any part of that draws you into all of it. Amen? So there's sit, stand, walk. Those three positions. Okay? So what is it that we're sitting, standing, or walking in? You sit in a seat. Now, a seat is more than just a chair. I can give you one quick scripture and you'll get it. God, when he raised Jesus from the dead and then Jesus ascended at the right hand, what did he do? He sat him on his right hand. We understand that sitting is more than just taking a load off and putting your little bottom on the chair. It means that that's where you're, if I can say it like this, planted. He was seated in that. We are seated in the heavenly. So we may still be walking around down here, but, you know, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My home is in heaven. That's where I belong. Amen? Okay. So I'm seated in the heavenlies. So the man who is happy in the Lord doesn't sit with mockers. He's not rooted there. Again, we could make the comparison to the roots. Or standeth in the way. I'm kind of bouncing back and forth between two translations here, so you get it. Standing in the way of sinners. Standing is, we use that phrase often, take a stand. Where do you stand? Where is your loyalty? Where is your belonging? Where is your membership? I stand with this party. Or, standing is identification. Remember, we were little kids and we drew a line, and everybody who's on that team stands on that side. This one stands on this side. It's with whom do you stand? What do you stand for? And so it shows a commitment. It shows an identification, as it were. All right? And then the third one is walking. Walking, again, you sit in the seat. You stand in the way, and the way is the actions, okay, the methodology, if I can say it like that, okay? And then the third one is walking in the counsel or the schemes, the plans. That may be as good a word to use. Some translations say the advice. But it's more than that. We got schemes. We got plans. We got, that's the counsel of the ungodly. Walking in it. Walking means carrying it out. Amen? So these three things are the define the man who's happy, because he doesn't do them. He doesn't sit. He doesn't stand. He doesn't walk like the other, like the disobedient, like the ungodly do. Well, sit, stand, or walk in what? A seat, a way, or a council. The seat is that position. The way is that identification. And the council is the schemes, the ideas. You remember that, you know, in Genesis, when it talks about the woods through the world, and infested or infected mankind, until it comes to the point that it said, God said, that they cannot, that man can only think, even the imaginations of his thoughts are dark. In other words, it had so infected it that he could not be a part of those schemes. That was, became who he was. Anyway, so what we see here is that the man sits, that's his identity or his position. He stands, that's whom he identifies with. And he walks in the council. Okay, the council is the schemes, the plots, the plans, the ideals, the ambitions, the destination. In other words, you walk into a destiny, right? You walk into a future, so on. Okay, so we've got sit, stand, walk. We've got seat, way, counsel. Now we got to carry out the third one then. The seat of the scorner or mockful. The mockers, the ones that ridicule. He standeth in the way of sinners. Well, you know, somebody can be a sinner. There's still some hope for redemption, correct? But when you are ungodly, then it isn't even a sin. You have to have some kind of godliness to sin. That means I can't break a rule if I didn't even know the rules there. But walks in the way, the methods, the schemes, the plans, the destiny of the ungodly. So here's our triplets. Walk, stand, sit. Counsel, way, seat. Ungodly, sinner, scornful. So let me put it then the other direction. He walks in the counsel of the ungodly. That means he continues in it. This is now his habitual. Remember how we were talking about our habitual is reading the reading and dwelling on, meditating, listening to the scriptures, to the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates day and night. So this ungodly, he sits in the seat of the scornful. That means he settles down into it, okay? He standeth in the way of sinners. That means he's carrying out. Those are his buds. Those are his folk, okay? Walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He continues in. So if you can see it, we have a triplets. Walk, stand, sit. Counsel, way, seat. Ungodly, sinner, scornful. And what does that become? We settle down into, we carry out, and we continue in. That is not what the happy man does. Happy is the man who doesn't do those things. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. See, three things: walking, counsel, ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, standing way sinners. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, sit, seat, scornful. But, in contrast, his delight is in the law of the Lord. The triplets there. Happy is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in his season. Again, that's seasonal, but the tree is still permanent, even when the fruit isn't seasonal. It's seasonal. So many people judge a life by the fruit that it bears. But truly, fruit has seasons. We have growing seasons. You know, certain animals, they bear their fruit or their offspring. But some do it every few months, like a rabbit. Some every 2 years, like the elephant. They each bear their own fruit, their own offspring, but in their season. For us, that's 9 months. Is that season? There are others that are more, there are others that are less. But your life is as valuable, is as meaningful, is as joyful, is as God honoring, whether it's now in season or for fruit, or not in season for fruit. Amen. So this is the definition, the description of the happy man. He delights in the Lord and the law of the Lord day and night. He always is by the waters. He's planted there. This was not accidental. He's planted by those waters, whose only reason to be there, like the irrigation, is to make the tree grow. It isn't happenstance that the tree found the river. It's that the water, the irrigation, found the tree. Amen. And his leaf shall not wither. Praise the Lord. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. That is the definition of a happy man. Sometimes we can say, I want to do so and so, and circumstance may prevent us. Sometimes there are things that we have no control over. Maybe we don't have control over gender or race or socioeconomics or where we are born, geography or time. We don't have control over those things. But wherever I am, whatsoever I put my hand to, it will prosper. Amen? The sign is not how much you get done or what you get done. It's that you are growing, that you are producing. That's why my good friends there have 30 years of proof. I'm sure some of those years were very fruitful. I'm sure some of them didn't seem so. But they are still flourishing. Amen? The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Praise the Lord. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Because he knows us, we shall not perish. Because he knows us, we shall prosper. Because he knows us, and we know him through his word, we are blessed, happy, content, prosperous, and loving the Lord. Amen. So my prayer for you as we round this series up is that you begin to see these units of three. They're woven through life, not just through the scriptures. They're woven through life. Every book has beginning, middle, and end. Every day has, as the dawn, the day, and the night. Amen. We have all these things woven through all that is surrounding us. God is talking to us what it means to be complete. And when we are complete, we are content. And when we are content, we are happy. In other words, we are blessed. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man. So I congratulate my friends on their 30th anniversary of the church. And I congratulate you for being planted by the waters. I congratulate you for having root, for having leaf, for having fruit. I congratulate you for sitting, standing, and walking in the ways of God. I congratulate you for being faithful in little, faithful in material things, faithful in another man's thing, because the day will come that we will see these things make for us to be complete. I hope you've enjoyed this series, 3x3. Today we had a whole bunch of threes, but I hope that you begin to see it's everywhere. It's all around us, past, present, and future again. Just know that God is in the midst of all that we do, and when our eyes are open to see it, we get delighted with those secret things, and we are happy in Jesus' name. May this be the best week of your life. May God bless you and grant you favor, grant you peace, grant you happiness. May you be blessed by Him in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Midst airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button, and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst and like us, because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone.